that we continue walking into the forest. And it's getting darker. And we hear steps behind us, to the side of us, and what is it? And finally, we turn round a bend and come face to face with a vampire. Bloodthirsty, ravenous, inhuman, unheeding. So this creature represents our insatiable craving. And in traditional stories, vampires are killed by driving a stake through their heart. But if we are looking to meet these creatures rather than vanquish them or even transform them, then we must ask, what is truly needed? What does this vampire actually need that is going to be sustaining? So this vampire may take the form of an actual vampire from, you know, a film, Interview with a Vampire, Twilight series. We were talking about Buffy on the way here. But there's also a traditional Buddhist image that I was thinking of here, which is the preta, or the hungry ghost. These creatures are described as beings with distended bellies and small mouths. And no matter how hungry they are, they're never satiated, no matter how much they try to consume. And in order to release them from their suffering, they need sustaining food and drink. This vampire energy might be something that's inside of us, but it might also be a person in our lives. You know, we might recognize this as someone who's taking more than we are prepared to give. Maybe we're building a bit of a resentment against them. And again, we need to look at ourselves. Well, what are we doing that is feeding this situation? Perhaps, like the lost child, the vampire is an aspect of ourselves that needs to be listened to, needs to be asked what it truly needs. But we can't coddle a vampire like a lost child. Yeah, we need to match this positive emotion, this curiosity, with fearlessness. And this approach of fearlessness is evoked by Amoghasiddhi, and this is the Buddha that we have on the shrine in the shrine room. His name means unobstructed success, and he holds his hand in the Abhaya Mudra, the mudra of fearlessness. Could everyone lift up their right hand? Take it out first to your right shoulder. And we don't want a super hard hand with the fingers, you know, reaching really, really strongly. We don't want a floppy hand. But I've heard it described, actually, that it's a movement with a bit of give, a bit of receptivity. We could move this slightly forward diagonally, so it's coming forward almost in front of our heart. This doesn't matter if it's completely facing forward. We don't need to put any strain on the wrist. It's a sense of movement towards. But if Amoghasiddhi were to meet a vampire, he wouldn't go for the jugular. But he wouldn't buy the vampire's story either. He'd see through to what was actually needed to accomplish the task, and in this case, to discover the vampire's true desire without letting himself be consumed. You can let your hand come down. So he won't allow himself to be hurt by the vampire, but neither will he submit to it. Amoghasiddhi often makes me think of Neo from The Matrix at the end of the first film, when he comes off the elevator and the agents shoot at him. And he sees the bullets coming, but he doesn't care. He's seen through to reality. He knows the bullets won't hurt him. And as they sail towards him, he holds up his hand. No. Perhaps our inner vampire comes out when we're in a codependent relationship and we cling to our partner, always asking for more reassurance or more safety or love. And we can never have enough if we're coming from that place. I really need to be aware of this in my relationship with my husband, Tom, being careful that what I want, you know, whether that's approval or attention, isn't coming from a place of insatiable craving. I'm seeing him as an object that will give me what I want. And I also think that this can happen a lot in spiritual friendship, actually. Specifically, vertical Kalyana Mitrata, so Kalyana Mitrata, spiritual friendship, where we're engaging with someone who's a bit further along the path with us. And I think this can especially happen if you're in the ordination process. So there's a danger that our spiritual friends become functions. They become factors in the project of our spiritual growth. Really noticing for ourselves, is this happening for us? And if that's true, to counter these tendencies of the vampire, we need to see the other not as an object that will give us what we want, but as a person with their own desires. You know, we see things from their side. We see that what we're craving so desperately in another, we actually need to provide for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with wanting love or approval or attention. Of course we want them. They're pleasant to have. And we can develop a healthy, sharing, mutual respect and relationship based on those things, but only to the extent that they don't cause the other further suffering.